Good morning. Nice, brisk Sunday morning for us here today. We are following this morning the order of matins. I've been looking forward to this. So I know if you are in my camp, maybe when you were a kid, it was red hymnal, page 5, page 15, page 32. And that was our cycle of services at Trinity Lutheran Church in Pekin, where I grew up. Looking forward to singing the Order of Matins. If you're also like me, who can't read music and only follows tunes around, we're just going to belt this one out really loud today. So expecting that from everybody here. I know, right? Yeah, okay, right, Piper? Yeah, we're going to sing loud today. Okay, all right. So few announcements after the service. We'll stick around for that. So let's begin the order of matins this morning. We turn to the inside. Lord of glory, you have bought us, our opening hymn.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, January 29th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Casey Jones. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 851, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, hymn 851, found in the Lutheran Service Book. The John Miller Memorial is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God. The John Richard Memorial is sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God.
Thank you.
Let us rise. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill?
He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart.
Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend.
In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change.
Who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 842, Son of God, Eternal Savior, hymn 842 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The Old Testament reading for this, the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, is from the book of the prophet Micah, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. A reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The sermon text this morning taken from today's gospel reading. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We as Christians have a difficult task before us, a hard task. A lot is asked of us. Believe now the promises of God. Believe now by faith those promises. And trust that when Jesus returns, we will fully possess that very thing which we do not now yet fully understand or comprehend. But as St. Paul writes in the book of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Faith is not our work. Faith is a Holy Spirit created gift of God, and it is accounted to us as righteousness. For we are justified, we are reconciled, we are reborn by faith. Faith is a confidence in God and a confidence in His Word that He will fulfill the very promises that He has made to us in our baptisms, in the sacrament of the altar, in His Word, in His call to us. Faith grasps the gracious promise of the forgiveness of sins and trusts that our sins are fully forgiven by God for the sake of Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law of God on our behalf and who was the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. As our confirmation students learned this week in school, Christ's active obedience and His passive obedience. He actively fulfilled the whole will and law of God for you in your place. And His passive obedience is that He allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. The perfect Lamb of God being the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. We mention sin a lot. We have a condition, and our condition is sin. The world has a condition. Every human being has a condition. That condition is sinfulness. Sin is mentioned very often, and this compels us to think about and to understand salvation history. The earth, the solar system, the universe, the cosmos, and all in it was created perfect. Adam and Eve were created perfect. Adam and Eve were created moral beings. They, like us, were given the law of God. I have given you every green plant for food. And you may eat of any tree of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of that tree, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. At some point after the creation, Satan, an angel, rebelled against God. And by his lies, he seduced Adam and Eve into rebellion against God. In Adam's fall, all creation fell. All creation became bent and broken, unable to fix itself, and humanity's inability to pay for or make restitution to the Creator means that left to our own devices, our will is bound. I hear many people talk about free will. We have free will in which pizza we would like to order. But when it comes to the things of God, our will is not free. It is bound unto darkness and wickedness and evil. We are born sinful. We are born aliens and aggressors towards our Heavenly Father. We are only capable of rebelling against God, only capable of being God's enemy. And instead of obliterating His creation and starting over, God Himself decided to fix the situation. He chose to send a Savior. God chose to save us through the person and work of His own Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The teaching of the havoc wrought by sin and the redemption of humanity by God is, in the end, the most practical of all theology. For it deals with your right standing before God now and your full inheritance that will come in the resurrection on the last day, when Jesus appears in all His majesty and glory. Faith is the understanding of what you have right now, what is your eternal possession, what is yours even though you do not yet have the full realization of what you grasp a hold of by that very faith. The kingdom of heaven is yours. You are not yet come to the full realization of it. This is what we call the now, not yet. Now you are the children of God. Not yet do you fully realize who you are. Now you are the glory of God. Not yet do you see that full glory of God. It is in the light of creation, fall, and redemption that we see and comprehend the Beatitudes. These teachings that Jesus gave up on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are not about our doing. The Beatitudes are about the condition we are in and what condition leads one to being called blessed by Jesus, who is God in the flesh. You who have faith in Christ, who have come in this life to recognize your utter dependence on God's Messiah for eternal life, you are Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples are at all times in and of themselves poor in spirit. That is, you realize that you have nothing to offer God. You are lowly. You are hungering for God's final victory. The victory that will come upon the earth, the second coming of our Savior. That's your condition now in Christ. You are poor in spirit, and by the power of your union with Christ, you have come to be merciful. You have come to be poor, pure in heart. You have come to be the peacemakers. The Beatitudes do not make ethical demands upon us, and neither are they prescriptions for how you should live your life. Instead, Jesus is pointing out the conditions of those who do not reject the call to follow Him. The Beatitudes are speaking to those people who have absolutely nothing to offer God. And nevertheless are blessed to see the ultimate victory in the end times reign of Jesus Christ. It is to those people that Jesus is speaking. Those are the folks He refers to as blessed. Or as we might say, saved. Saved are they because of the reign of heaven and the gifts that that reign belongs to them right now. The poor in spirit. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. The poor in spirit are the spiritually destitute. Those who understand that the condition of their spiritual life is that they are without recourse, without ability to please God. They have nothing to give to God, and that they must have all of their blessings provided by another, namely provided by God Himself. They are the ones who have been shaped by Jesus' call to repent of their sins and mercifully implore their God for forgiveness. The poor in spirit assent to the fact that they cannot save themselves, and that they do in fact need a Savior. The blessing is that saved now in Christ, the benefits of the heavenly realm are theirs right now. And they are rich in the forgiveness of all of their sins. Right now there is a pleasant present blessing in the reign of God through Jesus, yet there is still sin and evil in the world. There is still sin and evil within each and every one of us. This sin and evil the believer mourns over as they still understand that the full comfort of the promise of God is in the not yet. This is the tension that you live in each and every day. The reign of heaven is now, and it belongs to the poor in spirit, even to those who are persecuted for bearing witness to Jesus Christ. The promise of final comfort, the final inheritance, the filling with God's righteousness, the final mercy, the final beholding of God, the full revealing of your identity as the sons of God are not yet. That will all be made known to you on the last day. As we wait then for the last day, we realize that our lives in Christ will be characterized by mourning, by hungering, by thirsting. And so we live in the tension of the present. The present blessing of what we have been given on the one hand, and the present grief on the other hand. We live in this tension until the time of Christ's final appearing is at hand. The poor in spirit, those who are meek, shall not be given a kingdom in this present world. We look for a kingdom that is not of this world, a resurrection kingdom, a kingdom that is called the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. We long for the day when our suffering, our mourning, our weeping will be reversed, and we will be granted full joy, full happiness, and full glory. This is our faith condition. We are those who are hungering and thirsting for God to act and act again mightily. In the meantime, though, we wait. In the meantime, we see things through the eyes of faith. We see that mercy has been shown to us, and this mercy of God is filling us, weak vessels though we be. And if the mercy of God is filling you up, then in faith, of course, it will leak out of you. The mercy that you show others in this life will be imperfect. It will not be perfected this side of heaven. But those who belong to God now and have now begun to be merciful are blessed. For on the last day they will receive mercy in all its fullness. There is the condition of those who are pure in heart. They are not pure in heart because they understand everything about God. They are not pure in heart because they are perfect in this life and all their deeds and all their actions are just wonderfully spiffy and all of that. No. No. They are declared pure in heart because they have begun to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have been given pure hearts. And as disciples, the pure in heart have come to Jesus to seek the face of God. And it is Jesus' promise that on the last day they will indeed see the face of God. The peacemakers are those who bring the gospel into the world. The peacemaker proclaims in the vocation that they work in that the peace of God has brought to mankind through Jesus Christ. As you teach your children about Christ, you are the peacemakers. As you tell others about Christ, you are the peacemakers. As you proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world, you are the peacemakers. Each of the Beatitudes that are laid out before us are a condition of faith that resides in the seeker after Jesus, and at the same time will only be fully realized on the last day when Jesus returns in glory. Jesus' ministry comes in great power, but not in the way that the world thinks of these things, and not in the way that the world conceives of power. John the Baptizer has been arrested. He will die in prison. The disciples of Jesus will be despised. They will be resisted. They will be hated and persecuted. The Messiah will reign as King of the Jews and the Savior of the world, but He will reign from the cross. And yet still, He will return in all glory and power and might to establish His kingdom forever and ever. And therefore we say, blessed, saved for all eternity are they who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and the author of their forgiveness. In that Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now all rise as we sing the Te Deum Laudamus. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plasky Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live, or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plasky Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for the singing of the Kyrie. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, help us to understand that connected to your righteousness, our spiritual condition is now blessed. We are saved. Guide us to live out our lives as Christian people, living with one another in patience and mercy and love. Strengthen us in all holy living as we await for your return on the last day and our full revealing as the people of God. Lord, in your mercy. God of all wisdom, you tell us plainly that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but the word of the cross is your power to all who are being saved. Strengthen the faith of congregations and professional church workers, that they would not turn to man-made wisdom, but boldly proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of lords, you rescued your people from Egypt. You confounded the plans of the kings who sought to hinder them so that your people would be protected. Guide the decisions and the actions of all earthly authority, that your people may live in peace and quietness. Lord, in your mercy. God of all truth, bless those who are reviled and slandered because of Jesus. Strengthen them to continue in the good confession. Provide for their needs of body and soul, maintaining in them the joy and gladness that in Christ their reward in heaven is great. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Merciful God, the afflictions of the believer are intended to exercise their faith. We ask you to use our infirmities for our good. Hear our prayers on behalf of all of those who are suffering the afflictions of the mortal flesh. Deliver them according to your will and make use of their trials to increase their confidence in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Holy Triune God, receive our thanks for the saints whom you have preserved in righteousness and have delivered unto glory. Purify our hearts by your grace and strengthen us against the temptation that we would look joyfully, strengthen us against temptation so that we would look joyfully to that day when we shall see you in glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. We remain standing for the singing of our closing hymn.
The closing hymn is number 848, Lord, Whose Love Through Humble Service, hymn 848 in the Lutheran Service Book.
be seated. Curious, Chris is, yes, that's what I was getting ready to ask if Megan was there to mention a few things about help maybe needed for pancake and sausage or something to that effect. Yes, please, come down to the front.
We're still looking for bake sale items. So if any of you bakers are in here would like to bake something, we're still looking for bake sale items for our bake sale table. So.
Do you know if John has what he needs for sausage stuffing?
He said he did.
He does. So there's nothing there to add to that. Is there?
Sausage stuffing day is Wednesday. And if you want to be a part of it or have questions, John is your person. I know nothing.
Mrs. Poles.
Yes, I noticed back here in the bulletin it says that we have a volleyball game at school on Monday night. In the event that you are considering coming to watch our girls play volleyball, that game has been moved. And we will, in fact, be hosting a volleyball game at our gym on February 7th. I'm pretty sure that's a Tuesday. But please don't try to come to the volleyball game on Monday night. No one will be there.
But it will be at Carroll, correct?
Which that game on Monday is against West Linden Broadwell, so there had to be a whole rescheduling.
Of gym use.
Yes, there were some gym issues.
Okay. All right, and the bulletin went to print before.
Right, we submitted this on Tuesday. The change happened on Thursday.
So. Okay, so thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that very much. The congregational chairman gave me a note, and the Peggy, whatever her position is. What's your wife's position? Board of Christian Ed of the chairman. There's no youth group tonight. Okay, that was a whole long way to just simply say there's no youth group this evening. Okay, next Sunday. No, Sunday, February 12th. Sunday, February 12th, we'll have a special voters meeting in between services. Why? Because we did not have a quorum on Tuesday. We did not have enough people to vote on the business of the congregation, so we will do it in between services on Sunday, February 12th. What we'll be up to vote on is, first of all, the approval of the nominations for synodical positions. The president of the Synod, the first vice president of the Synod, and our regional vice president. So we will approve our nominations for those positions of synodical offices. We will also approve Zion's lay representative to vote for the synodical president, the first vice president, and the regional vice president. So what happens is once we put in our votes, nominations, then we have a layperson who will get online, sign in, and submit that. And then also that same person, when it comes time to vote for the candidates, will be the person who votes for our congregation, representing the congregation as a lay delegate. So I have one vote as a pastoral delegate, and the congregation has one vote to put in for the lay delegate. Thirdly, the third piece of business will be the approval of the school's recommendation for a change in the employee information manual. My understanding of that, Rod, correct me if I'm wrong, is a making all the language sound together. Okay, so we're just making language meet language and changing that. So those are the three things on the docket for the special voters meeting. I think that for all those announcements, I believe that is all. I have one other announcement that I'd like to make this morning.